It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
From the Labatt Blue Studio, it's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience in Happy Valley. Very special announcement this week from Mark. You know what this special, special announcement is, Bob?
Is this a brand new special announcement? Or a
brand spanking new.
Wow.
I hope it involves alcohol for the fans.
Well, there's always alcohol for the fans. But he's going to have a celebrity there this weekend.
Is it a former Penn State player?
No, it is Andrew P. Shea himself.
That's even better.
He's going to be there. If you want to talk Penn State football when you're there, Andrew P. Shea is the guy.
It's a great opportunity for any Penn State fans that are taking advantage of the tailgate situation to go up to Andy and just ask him what he was thinking about thinking running backs are more important than quarterbacks.
Exactly.
There you go.
He will proudly explain it.
I will invite you to my academy in the north stands of the upper deck.
Class is in session this weekend. It's going to be a full class.
And Professor Shea is going to help us all out. All right. Well, quarter number two, we are going to get a few more lessons from Andrew P. Bob, he's going to school us here. We're going to have some discussions about the roster. A lot going on. We'll go to the professor second. Bob, what stood out to you? I have my things highlighted. What do you
highlight?
The
most significant thing to me, and I really mean this because I've been really uncertain about him, is Justin Shorter as the third wideout. To me, it tells me he got through camp healthy. He impressed the coaching staff. When we were up there, he did not run any routes, and I was really curious if maybe something had happened again. But I think maybe they just really like him, and they're trying to keep him healthy and happy going into the season. He's a big receiver who can run, great catch radius. They need a big receiver. To me, I think he was maybe one of the missing pieces in last year's offense just because he wasn't healthy. If he's 100% and he can play to his recruiting tape, I think it is a big deal for the Penn State offense. That's my number one takeaway from the first depth chart.
I think you're right there. That big receiver, we've been saying all summer, that is significant. And who could it be, Justin Shorter? Well, it looks like so far we're going to find out right away. He's going to get the starting nod.
That's probably the, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, the things I'll be watching for on Saturday, you can put him at the very top of the list. I think he's that good. If he's healthy, I just want to see him actually against live competition. We just haven't seen it. And I think he can really make a difference.
What was at the top of my list, sir? I'd say good for Lamont Wade, right? I mean, because it was Jonathan Sutherland sort of, you know, you heard a little bit about him. He bent the coach's ears. He played some last year. He had a good spring, and Lamont Wade won the other safety job. You know, Sutherland's behind Garrett Taylor at the one safety position. And so that tells you how far Lamont's come with the position switch. Sort of to beat a guy out that wasn't an inherent incumbent or a starter or anything, but was a guy that they set out on equal ground, right? And maybe in terms of playing time and working at the position, Sutherland was ahead. And he probably hasn't done anything wrong. Lamont is a talented player. He was a 4/5-star kid. He eventually figured out how to use his talent at that position and to earn the starting spot. We knew safety was one of those positions where there was a battle. They had plenty of options, but the fact that Lamont Wade came through and won that job stood out to me a lot.
And I think we've gotten so used to these freshmen stepping in and playing right away that he's still a junior. He's still got a couple of years left, and sometimes it just takes a little longer for a kid to see the field, for it to just click for him, and maybe this is his time.
And let's give James and his assistants a lot of credit, not just for recruiting and not just for developing, but for whenever they make a position change. Going back to the first year when they moved Anthony Zettel inside, he was a part-time defensive end who was kind of lost. They moved him inside to three technique, and He was unbelievable. You know, you look at some of the position changes they've made, they've almost always worked. Troy Apke, Nick Scott, Garrett Taylor. So I give them a lot of credit for not giving up on guys and saying, hey, how can we use a talented athlete? Where can we move him? And their track record is pretty good. So I think that Lamont's aggressiveness and his skill set really kind of works much better at safety than it does at corner.
But at that position, I believe a lot of us were looking at Jahkon Brisker, the potential there. This doesn't mean he's not going to play, and it doesn't mean he isn't going to play a lot. I know he's a personal favorite of yours.
He's one of my – I think they have four safeties. I think they have four safeties. So I think at some point during the course of the first four games, you're going to get a peek at all four of them. That's just
– And look, the first depth chart is not an indicator of what's going to happen in mid-October and late November. There's going to be some guys, you can look at the depth chart now, that are second or third team, that by the second half of the season, they're going to be among, I bet you they'll be among Penn State's best players. It happens every year, and my Exhibit A for me is always Pat Freiermuth.
Yes, that's a great example. And what we also have to understand is, unlike quarterback, these other positions, you do rotate people in, and just because you're not starting doesn't mean you're going to not play. Like Micah Parsons a year ago, who didn't start but led the team in tackles.
Yeah, they're deeper now, and I think really you'll get a better feel for who Penn State's coaching staff likes the best when you see them, who's on the field in the fourth quarter. That's really all that matters in a close game.
All right. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com for the ultimate tailgating experience. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467. There's another position that we've talked about quite a bit, and that's running back. And reading right off the depth chart, it is either Slade or Brown or Kane or Ford as the starter. What does that tell you, Bob?
Well, Slade's the starter. James said that yesterday after practice. He's gonna open the game, but it just says that it is one of the positions of strength on the team. I think that each one of them brings a little bit something different to the running back equation. I'm anxious to see how Ricky Ronnie employs all of these guys as receivers. That's another component, I think, of the offense that was missing last year. And on the list of freshmen that I'm excited to see, one in 1A, one of the players is Noah Cain, and the other one is Keaton Ellis. I just think those two guys are really going to make their presence felt for Penn State. And it's going to get harder and harder for freshmen to do that. But as much as Brandon Smith, when all is said and done, might be the best player in this class, I think this year, the guys that might help them the most, at least at the start, are probably a running back and a corner.
Well, before we go to Andy, I just want to mention, I know that you're a big Noah Cain fan. I'm a big Devin Ford fan.
Not the biggest one at KSN.
That would be the biggest. Where's Ross today?
Oh. That would be Ross. You're right. However, I'm probably second on that list, and I think it's really impressive that he didn't get here till August, start practicing, and he's made that or list. So I think that's pretty impressive from him.
All I'm going to say about the running backs, and don't forget, don't be late for class on Saturday, Jim, is enjoy the running back by committee and what Ricky Ronnie is going to do with them, how talented these guys are, the little bit of diversity that each of them has. Enjoy it because it's sort of the blueprint for how the running back will help shape the offense going forward. But these guys have some unique talents, and I think they are going to be, to me, the most fun position to watch as the year develops.
And with this being the most critical position on the field, we know
in my opinion
it is.
In my opinion.
Well, let's go to another position group that we talked about quite a bit over the summer, and that's the guard position, Andy. And we finally have kind of an answer.
Well, I think they have three guards. James has said that they have three guards. They did the oars. CJ Thorpe, according to the depth chart, will start against Idaho. It looks that way. The interesting thing is with Mike Miranda is he backs up at three positions, and both guards and center, he's the number two guy, and he's an oar behind Thorpe, and he's an oar behind Gonzalez. In other words, if they're going to run a certain type of offense, that's, and Steven Gonzalez serves a very worthwhile purpose, but there could be some things that they're doing where it could, you could see Miranda and Thorpe in there as a combo. I just think, I think all three play, I think they might be balanced. You know what I mean? Like in terms of minutes, unless one of those three emerges as sort of a hammer.
Thorpe may start. Miranda is the more valuable player because of his versatility.
Correct.
This will also help him if he wants to go to the next level. The NFL is definitely all about guys that can play multiple positions. I think Mike Miranda is definitely a key player along the offensive line. And just as we wind this segment down, I just wanted to say once more time, every time we're up there, the name Caden Wallace comes up. And I think it bodes very well. They've moved him to tackle. He was really recruited more as a guard. He's huge. James Franklin said, was asked about Rashid Walker, and the name Caden Wallace came up. He said, Rashid Walker could have easily played last year, but they held him out. He could also stand to add a little bit more weight, and you wouldn't. He almost looks skinny. But he mentioned Caden Wallace in the same breath with Rashid Walker. I would watch to see what happens with Caden Wallace during the second half of this season. They have a swing tackle right now in Des Holmes, but I think with Caden, his talent might be too good to ignore in terms of they'll may have to make a decision on whether to play him this year. I think it just bodes very well for him that at every chance a player or James Franklin is talking about his progress.
Go ahead, Andy.
No, I just wanted to throw in a couple more guys before we ran out of time. I think Damian Barber behind Robert Windsor at defensive tackle. I know they're going to play, you know, 3, 4, 5 tackles. He's ahead of Fred Hansard. That, to me, struck me as interesting. It means Damien's come far enough to be a trusted 3-4 tackle. I think Charlie Ketcher, I was looking down the depth chart of the linebackers, and I'm trying to see with Cam Brown missing a half and they adjusted the depth chart. But I think Charlie's a legit number two, it seems, right? That could change, no, but it seems like he's in there.
I don't think so. I think when all, maybe right now, but when you talk about Lance Dixon, when you talk about Brandon Smith, you talk about Lakeda, Cam Brown, Jan Johnson, and Micah Parsons, I think he's in the 7-6 conversation, but okay. It's hard to imagine that Lance Dixon won't continue to get better. I think Charlie's a good player, but that is a stacked position, and I think that's more a reflection of the depth chart for week one.
Okay.
With Cam Brown. I think the other one we should mention is Keaton Ellis being set at number two at cornerback.
Two with a bullet.
And we've been talking about him all year. All right, next up, it's Ask Andy and Bob. Your questions, their answers.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.